Forgive Those Who Trespass by Loman Aaron, rated M for Mature. Chapter 4, The First Pensive. Harry woke slowly to the realization that Malfoy seemed to be having a nightmare. He was thrashing about in Harry's hold, his mouth open like a screaming muggle painting Harry had once seen, and his head tilted back. But of course no sound emerged from his lips, only erratic puffs of air.
"Malfoy!"
Harry snapped, trying not to shake him. Since so many of his ribs were gone, he had no idea what would happen if he did. Nothing happened, however, except that Malfoy's legs were moving faster and faster, his hands flailing wildly. His teeth champed down harshly on his tongue, and Harry recalled something Hermione had once told him about people swallowing their tongues during seizures. He shuddered. Quite apart from the fact that Malfoy might be the only person who could guide him through the labyrinth the Department of Mysteries had become, he didn't want the Git to die and leave him all alone down here. He leaned in close to the other man's head and said, "Malfoy?" Again. The harsh breathing grew more pronounced, and his elbow slammed into Harry's ear. Harry ducked, cursing, and shoved at his shoulder. Still nothing. Harry wondered what kind of rough treatment it would take to wake Malfoy up, if his efforts so far weren't doing anything. Then he stilled. Maybe rough treatment was the problem. Given how much Malfoy had suffered already, Harry's efforts were probably playing right into his nightmares and convincing him he was back with the people who had hurt him. Swallowing, and fervently glad that Ron wasn't with him at this moment to see and laugh at what he had to do, Harry leaned nearer to Malfoy and whispered into his ear,
"Draco, you're safe now. I promise."
"Well," he amended, wondering what he would say if Malfoy woke up and accused him of lying.
"You're safer. I'll try to protect you. I'll try to make sure that nothing else happens to you, and then you get back to St. Mungo's so they can restore your bones and your voice and your fingers, and let you go back to being the right annoying Burke you always were. All right? Wake up now. I promise I'm not going to torture you. I wouldn't do that. I won't let anyone else do that." He wasn't foolish enough to think his words did that much good. He was hardly an inspiring public speaker, as the ministry had already found out to its embarrassment. But the soft, soothing tone they were spoken in helped. Malfoy shuddered all over and abruptly went limp. Turning his head toward Harry, he breathed for some moments, and then opened his eyes and stared at him. Harry bit his lip. They were uncomfortably close, just the kind of closeness to make his body react the wrong way and give Malfoy ideas about Harry trying to molest him when nothing could be further from the truth. But he knew that moving away right now would come over as all stiff and distant to Malfoy and make him distrust Harry even more, and they needed trust to survive right now. So Harry held his posture and a stare, though he felt more and more awkward by the passing second. Malfoy shifted, and his hands came up to tangle in Harry's hair. Harry held patiently still as those nubby fingers explored his scalp and the small hairs that paraded down the back of his neck. If Malfoy needed tactile contact to reassure himself he wasn't back among his tormentors, Harry would let him have it. Abruptly, those nubby fingers yanked. Harry jumped. Malfoy must have worked them into the curly underlayer of Harry's hair.
"That hurt, Malfoy!"
he informed the other man, moving warily backward. Malfoy had a faint, self-satisfied smile on his face, and Harry felt like a fool. Of course he was fine, and Harry's attempts to comfort him were to be rejected arrogantly the moment he was away. Harry started to roll away. Malfoy clasped one palm on his shoulder, holding him still. His face had changed, and he shook his head. Harry wished for a moment that they hadn't been too tired to finish assigning meanings to the glass sphere last night.
"What? Don't leave you? I'm not going to do that."
His voice came out a bit more gruffly than he had intended, but his neck still tingled and hurt from the sharp pull. Another shake of the head, and then Malfoy withdrew his left hand to lay against his ribs. Harry lifted his eyebrows.
"Yes. I know you don't have many bones left."
A third headshake and a light, cautious thump. Harry narrowed his eyes in confusion. The motion was similar to the ones he had made during those 3 weeks he had lost his voice, and he wanted to remind people that he was in the room. But since he was looking straight at Malfoy, the kid could hardly suspect Harry had forgotten about him.
You?
He asked cautiously, deciding they would have to dedicate one facet of the sphere exclusively to common words. Another thump. Malfoy. A pained look and a thump. Harry sighed. It was now obvious what the Pratt wanted. He had heard the words that Harry was speaking whilst he had tried to wake him up after all. Well, it was a small enough sacrifice. And if it would prevent Harry from getting his hair yanked in the future, he could put up with it. Draco, he said. Somehow, even with the shadows of starvation and sleeplessness in his face, the Pratt had retained a brilliant smile. He leaned closer to Harry. His arms ended up around the middle of his back again. Harry shifted, cautious about how he held him. "Have you had enough sleep?" he asked. Because if they weren't going to sleep, they might as well make conversation. A nod, brushing Malfoy's hair against his ear. Harry frowned past his head and wondered what in the world they were lying there for then. Hermione's voice appeared on cue in his mind.
Because he needs human contact, Harry. Tell me that you could survive being chained up and tortured in a dungeon for a year, and then not be madly glad to see the first other human being who wasn't trying to hurt you.
Harry sighed and closed his eyes. If they weren't going to sleep, then he might as well feign sleep. He deepened his breathing and let the arms that he had wrapped around Malfoy relax slightly. Malfoy made no objections. He just settled closer and began small, exploratory motions of his hands over Harry's back and shoulders. Light touches that wouldn't have been enough to wake a real sleeper, though they tickled slightly. Harry rolled his shut eyes. Malfoy was not only injured, voiceless, and presuming on a level of friendliness that Harry didn't think would ever exist between them. He was also needy.
As long as it's not more than this. I really don't think I could handle more than this, and he probably wouldn't be able to either, no matter what he tells himself.
He did relax by degrees, though. Annoying tendencies to yank on hair or not, Malfoy really seemed to have thrown away the animosity that had been between them for their 6 years in Hogwarts. Harry thought he probably could trust him, at least not tagged against the one person who at the moment could best guarantee his survival. Slytherins are self-protective, right? Surely he won't betray me, unless someone else comes along who can rescue him. And that's not likely down here. Harry sighed in relief and sat back, flexing his fingers from around his wand. He had cast a long, complicated series of charms that morning, or what might have been that morning, the first to designate certain facets of the sphere as certain words, and then to bomb the new knowledge into his mind and Malfoy's via a modified language learning spell, so they weren't forever fumbling for which facets or colors should mean what. He thought Hermione would approve of the time he had put into steady, hard work. Malfoy leaned toward him now, and touched one of the light green facets on the globe that stood for a series of ordinary words. When the colors of the glass shifted again, he touched the facet that meant hungry, and stared at Harry. Harry nodded and pulled enough food from his satchel to make a few acceptable sandwiches. Privately, he was worried about how long his supplies would last. He had packed for one person after all, not two. But he could manage duplication charms if he really had to. Though Ron always claimed that the food Harry duplicated tasted like sawdust. And there were more urgent things to worry about right now.
Do you know what lies beyond that door?
He asked Malfoy, when he'd handed him a cheese sandwich and settled back to eat his own. He motioned with his head at the doorway opposite the one they'd come in by, which so far led unhelpfully into darkness. Malfoy shook his head. His face was blissful by the light of Harry's conjured globe, and he was visibly restricting himself to slow bites and swallows. When he wanted to ravenously tear into the meal, Harry felt a small stirring of pride as he watched, and then told himself to stop feeling that. He was neither a specialist in the care and feeding of pureblood wizards or a training healer. What about that room? He turned his head toward the mass of flesh he and Malfoy crawled over, though just the memory of it was enough to make him lose his appetite. What would happen if I cast a spell at the flesh?
Do you think I should?
If only to try and free whoever those people are from their pain. Malfoy wrapped his palm on the globe to change the color back to another series of common words, from which he selected danger and befool. Then stared at Harry expectantly. Harry winced when he remembered the human chain and the shadow wolf that had come bounding out on guard when he transfigured it back to corpse status. Disabling the traps I set along the way rouses guardians? He asked. Malfoy nodded and then returned to his sandwich. It might have been caviar or skylark's tongue or whatever he had really eaten in the manor before he was kidnapped, considering the way he closed his eyes as he chewed. Harry shook his head in bewilderment. He would once have thought that nothing could ever make a change in Draco Malfoy's personality, for better or worse. But here he was, witnessing it. Did the entire department change when they released the spell? He asked. Or don't you know? Two shrugs. Harry cursed under his breath. Malfoy's usefulness as a guy was going to be severely limited then. Do you know what other traps they might have set up along the way? Do you think you'll be able to warn me in time? Shrug. Shrug. Well, damn. Harry set down a sandwich, then frowned when he saw Malfoy glancing at it. Get your own. I'll finish it in a minute. Malfoy rolled his eyes, as much to say that Harry was a fool for not eating it all at once. And pay attention, this is important. How much do you remember of what they did to you? Malfoy shook his head. Harry exhaled hard. He really should have expected that. If Malfoy remembered with any clarity, he would probably have been in a much worse shape, psychologically, than he was. And even if the Unspeakable's designs, whatever they were, included keeping this one prisoner alive, they wouldn't want to leave important memories in his head. Then we'll have to do the best we can without that guidance. Harry muttered, and sat back with a slight frown, closing his eyes. He took a few moments to consult with himself and realized that nothing had changed. Not really. He didn't have much of a chance of rescuing Ron and Hermione, but when had he ever had much of a chance? He would make the best effort he could and use the help that he found along the way, exactly as he had destroyed the Horcrux and battled the Basilisk and survived the graveyard and done everything worth mentioning in my life, he admitted to himself wryly, and opened his eyes again, only to see Malfoy glaring at him. He blinked. What? He'd been sure that Malfoy was too busy eating to care about his meditation. Malfoy wrapped the sphere. It flared dazzling white, which represented common phrases. Malfoy selected the facet that meant, according to the spell that suddenly shone in Harry's mind, I can't talk. And look at me. Harry raised an eyebrow. He had felt left out when Harry closed his eyes and couldn't see him anymore to tell what he was communicating. That seemed strange. But, of course, he had to keep remembering that to Malfoy, he wasn't an enemy anymore. That was difficult enough without making it more difficult for himself. He tried to keep his eyes open in the future, for both their sakes. I apologize, Draco, he said, catching himself and substituting the name that Malfoy had shown himself to prefer just in time. Malfoy beamed at him with so much happiness that Harry had to remind himself that there was a whole facet on the sphere for sarcastic phrases. But he couldn't help smiling tentatively back. The room beyond the eastern doorway turned out to be small, round, made of stone, and littered with more of the slowly rising blue flames that Harry remembered from the corridor where he had first landed. He avoided them cautiously and lit his arm to help Malfoy as needed. But Malfoy stepped past him with a silent snort and a shake of his head. Food and sleep had done wonders in bringing back his confidence and giving him an expression other than stupefied terror, Harry had to admit. Not that there was any chance Malfoy was bent, and not that Harry had any business noticing how attractive another man was. He directed his gaze to the glass sphere floating between them on a permanent levitation charm instead, ready to catch it if something surged up from the floor and tried to shatter it. Remarkably, they reached the other side of the room with no such accident, and Harry halted, because there had been nothing but darkness beyond the far doorway at first. But now there was a dazzling white light. He glanced sideways at Malfoy, but received only another shrug. Harry stepped in first, of course, body angled so as to offer as much protection to Malfoy as possible. The globe of light still bobbed behind him, and so did the sphere. Harry wasn't ready to trust to the seeming safety and dismiss the one or set down the other just yet. The room was empty, except for a single pillar in the center. Harry frowned and studied it. As far as he could tell from this distance, it appeared to be made of marble, or maybe ivory. On top of the pillar sat a stone bowl that he recognized right away. A pensive. And from the glitter near the lip, it was full. Harry licked dry lips and glanced sideways at Malfoy, who only shivered. If he was remembering something specific and dangerous, however, he didn't seem to think it worth his while to reach for the sphere and tell Harry about it. Harry nodded and cast his spells to detect traps and magical creatures. Nothing responded to them. At last he edged forward, his wand lifted, and several of the most dangerous spells that he knew poised on the edge of his tongue. Nothing continued to happen. The pensive came closer and closer, and no shadow wolf unfolded from the paving stones on the floor to leap at them, no wall of human flesh formed to fall on them, no acromantula descended from the ceiling to snare them in its web. Harry remained on edge, though, and so yelped and jumped when Malfoy suddenly seized his arm in a death grip. "Warn a bloke next time, won't you?" he snapped, turning around. One look at Malfoy's face silenced him. Malfoy was staring at the pensive, and he had turned so pale that Harry reached out and put his arms around him, fearing he would faint in the next moment. He stroked the other man's hair, which embarrassed him now that he was thinking about it, but which Malfoy seemed as if he needed. Harry mumbled into his ear the same soothing nonsense words he had spoken when they lay in the same blankets together, making sure to call him Draco. And Malfoy gradually relaxed. He still didn't step away from Harry, of his own free will, though. He waited until Harry stepped back and slipped his hand around one of the fingerless ones, shuddering absently as those round lumps brushed along his thumb and index finger. "Now," Harry said softly, "do you think that pensive holds some of your memories?" Malfoy nodded, his eyes fixed and staring. Harry licked his lips, not sure what to make of the lack of response, and continued. "Is there anything you can remember about this? About this room? The pensive itself? The pillar?" Malfoy shook his head three times, and then nodded on the fourth question. Harry leaned forward, keenly interested. He just assumed not approach the pillar if it was a trap. "Yes? What is it?" With a languid slowness probably caused by fear and revulsion, Malfoy ran a hand up and down his torso. Harry followed the motion with his eyes three times before his knowledge caught up with it, and he flinched, hissing between his teeth. "Pillars made of your rib bones," he said flatly, another terse nod. Harry licked his lips and looked back at the pillar. Yes, the white material it was constructed of could have been bone. Polished and shining. He concentrated hard, but couldn't make out any graceful curves of the rib in the thing. Of course, if the Unspeakables had altered what they stole with magic, that would be impossible. He could make out something, though. Harry leaned nearer. There were two letters, faint as shadows, carved in the pillar toward the base.
with some squinting, which nearly caused him to fall down since he didn't want to let go of Malfoy's hand and also didn't want to take a step nearer the pillar, he managed to make out that they were CR. No racking of his brains for any handy tips picked up during oral training provided suggestions as to what that might mean. Harry shook his head frustrated. "I've got to go into the Pensieve," he told Malfoy. Malfoy was clinging to him like a burr a moment later, his hold so tight and choking that Harry didn't have to be told what he feared. He took a deep breath and played with Malfoy's hair some more, then deliberately found the soft, empty flesh under his abbreviated ribcage again. "I have to," he said. "If there's the slightest hint about what happened to change the department into this, or about what they did to you, or about what happened to Ron and Hermione, I have to. I promise that I'll return the memories to you when I'm done. You should have them." He paused. "Do you want to go into the Pensieve with me?" Malfoy turned his head away, and even though Harry could barely make out his expression from this angle, he read soul-deep shame in the angle of his neck. Impulsively, he cupped a hand around Malfoy's chin and tilted his head gently back. "Don't feel bad," he whispered. "That you're still sane and not running away screaming at the prospect of getting these memories back says a lot. You've nothing to feel sorry for." He tapped Malfoy's cheek sharply with two fingers when Malfoy just blinked at him. "Do you hear me?" Finally, Malfoy bowed his head and nodded. A few tears slipped down his cheeks. Harry smoothed them away and hesitated a moment, then held out his wand toward Malfoy. "Here," he said. "If something happens whilst I'm in the Pensieve, or if I don't come back, then you should be able to defend yourself." Malfoy shook his head and gave him a disgusted look. Then he spread his hands wide and waved them up and down. "Yes, I know you don't have any fingers. It's kind of hard to miss." Harry snapped at him, wondering if this bizarre mix of irritation and sympathy would fill him for the rest of his life when he thought of Malfoy. He couldn't wait until they were back on the surface. He really couldn't, so that Malfoy would be sane and whole when Harry could start to hate him properly again. "But I still thought you could use the wand for..." He stopped, not wanting to say reassurance. The last thing he needed was Malfoy's stupid pride intervening in a matter of safety. Malfoy shook his head again and folded the wand back to Harry's chest, using the flats of his wrists. Harry understood the gesture better now. Malfoy would prefer that he had the wand with him in case something happened in the Pensieve. "All right, if you're sure." Nothing attacked him when he walked toward the pillar. Nothing attacked him when he cast a sticking charm on his feet so that he could bend over the Pensieve without being afraid that he'd slip or having to touch the sides of the bowl. He stared at the silvery liquid for a moment, bracing himself to see horrors even worse than those he had faced so far, and then plunged his head beneath the surface. There came the same dizzying sensations that had engaged him when he watched Snape's memories, and the memories Dumbledore had collected of Voldemort's past. Then he was standing in a room with several gray-clad figures, all of them with hoods drawn about their heads except two. Harry glanced around quickly. The room itself was broad and covered with dark blue tiles that absorbed the light of the torches in the wall sconces. Even just in memory, it thrummed with enough magical energy to raise his hair and his danger sense both. He turned back to the figures at the front of the room. One was a large, bearded man with brown eyes and an intense stare whom Harry didn't recognize, though he somewhat resembled the Death Eater, Walden McNair. The other was Malfoy. And he had no manacles, no glazed expression in his eyes reminiscent of someone under Imperius, and no restraining spells that Harry could see. He just stood and looked back at the bearded man with determination on his face. "Do you understand what you have to do?" the stranger asked. "I do." Harry almost jumped. Malfoy's firm, steady voice sounded so strange to him. "Good," the stranger said. "There is no need to bind you by an unbreakable vow or any others. As long as you solemnly swear of your own free will to be the loyal to the Department of Mysteries, and in return, we will aid in you achieving what you came for." He glanced at Draco's left arm.
The research we are doing in the art of body modification can rid you of the Dark Lord's mark. I'm certain, as it grows more advanced.
Malfoy inclined his head and gave that smirk that Harry had known so well.
And I can help you advance that research, at the moment, more than any other person you've recruited, he murmured. Isn't that right?
Harry closed his eyes. He felt as if he were falling again, down the long shaft that had borne him to the room of squirming flesh. But this time, he had no assurance of a soft surface to catch him, or even of companionship. Malfoy had participated in creating these horrors he and Harry had faced. What a fool Harry had been.
Said.